15 years ago, I met Teresa, and she shared with me her story. She said that she was an RN at an ICU for well over 30 years. And she said that, you know, she grew up in a household full of physicians. Both her mom and dad were both doctors. And so growing up, most of her life centered around things like medicine and science and socializing. She never ever went to church, so she never really thought about God. Teresa said that she was a very curious person, always kind of observing human nature. And she said that, you know, through the years of being in the ICU, she noticed a very unique demographic group of people who would come into the ICU. And she said those were people who had a very strong faith in God. She said from her own observations that these people tended to recover more than other people, but even when they didn't recover, she said, they tended to still have a very strong and healthy emotional disposition about themselves. And if they were able to, they thought more about other people, like even like the technicians and the nurses and the doctors and the people who would come and visit them. And she said they also had a very strong social support network that was seemed to be different than other people. The people would come and check in on them and pray for them and encourage them and send flowers to them. And this whole experience of Teresa's really had a big impact in her life. That coupled with God sending other people into her life later on. And she said, you know, one of the things that really just made a big impact was just looking at her life and showing how her life kind of moved and how God moved in her life to this place where she kind of grew up being an atheist, where she didn't think much about God, to having those experiences in the ICU and other people that came into her life that where she began to kind of think that, well, maybe perhaps there could be a God. I don't know. I'll seek that out. To coming to a place where she began a relationship with God. And that kept going all the way to the point of back in 2016 when Teresa found herself being a patient in the ICU and facing her own mortality, that the people around her said that one of her last words were, "Hey, don't worry about me. I'm going to be just fine." And then she, quoting an old Christian hymn, she said, "It is well with my soul." And she said, "Because I know whose place I'm going to." Now, if you had the opportunity to speak some last words right before you passed away, what would you say? I mean, think about it for a moment here. What if, just for a moment here, just think that this is the reality, that most of us in our lives, we think, you know, we're going to die someday, but think about it like this is really it. This is the reality. The end is really here. If it was really here, right now, what would you say? Now, a lot of people from, you know, famous people from history have had, you know, their last words and their last words even recorded. Some of them were here on the bumper. And some of them, if you look back through history, some of them were kind of funny. Some of them were really sad. And some of them were poignant and inspirational. But one thing that's really interesting about people's last words, when we have the opportunity to either hear or read somebody's last words, we really get a window into their heart and their soul of what their life is all about, what they think life is meant to be, and what they put their hope in. Now, one of the things that I'm really grateful for is that we've had recorded for us a lot of the last words of Jesus Christ. Recorded to us by some people like the person that we've been looking at and his work about Jesus, a guy named John. And we've been looking at some of Jesus' last words that John wrote down, specifically John chapter 13 through John chapter 17. And when we read those words and really think about it, and we look at how Jesus, you know, lived after he spoke those words, we get a really big window into the heart of, and soul of Jesus as well. And we get to see what was important to him and what life was meant to be and what he or who he put his hope in. Now, you remember last week we looked at John chapter 13, verse 1. Now remember, this verse kind of set up all the last words of Jesus. And so John was basically framing Jesus's mindset right before he was going to speak these words. Now remember, these words were spoken by Jesus within 24 hours of him being crucified. So let's look at John chapter 13, verse 1 here. It says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come." In other words, Jesus knew that this is it. that he knew that the reality of what he was about to go through was right here, right at hand, that he was going to be arrested, that he was going to go through an unjust trial, that people would mock him, that he would just get beaten to a pulp, and ultimately that he would have his flesh nailed to a bunch of boards. So he knew that all of this was going to happen. What's interesting about Jesus, though, is what you see in Jesus is the same characteristics that Teresa observed when she worked in the ICU. Now look at Jesus. So he knew his time had come to leave this world and what? Return to his Father. In other words, Jesus knew whose place he was going to. Not just where he was going to, but who he was going to. He was going to his Father. And through that, what you see through Jesus's life, you see a person who also had a lot of, you know, strength, and he was very healthy in his own emotional disposition as well. Why? Because he knew where he was going, whose place he was going to. And through that, what you see with Jesus was that he wasn't very much concerned about himself. Who was he concerned with? He was concerned with his followers, and he was concerned with you and me as well. Because look here, it says here, he had loved his disciples during his ministry here on earth. And now he loved them to the very end. In fact, he thought about them all the way to the end of his death. And he thought about you and I all the way to the point of him dying. Now, one of the things that we see with Jesus and how he prepares his disciples, he prepared them not only for his death, but he was also preparing them for something else. You see, Jesus was preparing them ultimately for their own death. See, Jesus was not really preparing them on how to live. Jesus was really preparing them on how to die. Because in preparation on how to die, they were going to learn how to really live. Don't crises do that to us, especially when we think about our own mortality? Doesn't it make us really think about, you know, the things that are most important and ask the most important questions like, you know, does life have meaning? What's the purpose of my life? Am I living my life on purpose? And we also see with, you know, dealing with mortality is how our life begins to prioritize among those things that are very important to us. And ultimately, what we see what's important to us and what's important to God as well is that we love each other. Somehow, crisis tends to kind of shut out all the things around us and bring us to a place of what is real, what is important, and how we love each other. In fact, Jesus showed it that way. He showed them how much he loved them in a very practical way there when he was with them that last moment. He got down and he washed their feet to show them that he was willing to get down into the grime and into the dirt in order to love them well. And Jesus then prepared them to go and do the same thing. But then if you go on and you read John chapter 13, Jesus begins to deal with some other issues. He deals with the issues of betrayal and the issues of denying. And isn't it interesting how in crisis, two things can happen within us. One thing could happen to us is that we can love each other and we can work together in these things. But also crisis can bring in some of the ugliest things in us, where there can be, you know, self-centeredness, some anger, bitterness. We can just freak out. And so Jesus even deals with that there was going to be some betrayal, that there was going to be some denying. And through all of that chaos, Jesus brings them all back to what is the most important thing. In fact, I think in crisis, it's important for us to come back to what is the most important thing. And so Jesus tells them what is the most important thing. There in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says this to them. He says, guys, I'm going to give you a new command. And what is that new command? Love one another. And then he says, how are we to love one another? He defines that. He says, as I have loved you. How has Christ loved you? Ultimately, we see that Jesus Christ gives up his life for them. So as I have loved you, so you what? You must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple just means that this is a student that is becoming just like their master. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that when you love other people and love them well as I have loved you, then everybody knows that you've been hanging around me and that you're becoming like me in the way that you love. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Now, this is a big theme of Jesus in his last words that he gives. 33 times, Jesus uses the word love. Now, when somebody in their last moments before they were going to die uses a word over and over and over and over and over, you could basically tell that that's what is very important to that individual. Well, to Jesus, it was love. 33 times he says, hey, love each other, that it's really all about love. There's going to be a lot of distractions. There's going to be a lot of opportunity for you guys to get on each other and to stress and press. And you're going to do some things that are going to be, you know, not so great. And they're going to be kind of ugly. But I want you to go back to the thing that's very important. That is to love each other. In fact, he says that all throughout that chapter 13, all the way through chapter 17. In fact, in John chapter 15 and verse 12 and through 14, you see, he basically says the same thing here. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, this is my commandment. Just in case you didn't hear me earlier, let me say this again. This is my commandment. Love each other. How? Again, if you didn't hear me earlier, if you were spaced out, let me clarify it for you. In the same way I have loved you. And how has Jesus loved us? And how did Jesus love them? By giving his life for them. He says, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And so he says, in light of all that, you are my friends if you do what? If you do what I command. And what did Jesus command? Again, it goes back to the very thing. Love one another. And how do we love? As I have loved you. And so these things are very, very important. And these are the things that Jesus wants to convey to us, even during these times of great stress and crisis and things like that, that we learn and we lean in to the love of God and we lean in to learn how to love each other through all of this. Now, this is why we are launching online groups. If you're not in a group, man, you need to get involved in a group. That's why you need to, you know, do what Shauna said earlier. You need to text, join a group, ride in there, and connect with somebody. You can't do this alone. Don't do this alone. It wasn't the way that you were made, and it's not where you're going to get strength by doing this alone. In fact, my group, my own small group, we've been this last week getting online, and one of the things that we've been doing is just checking in on each other to make sure that we're all okay. And some of us are dealing with some very hard things with work now, by which we are gathering together to pray for each other, to check in with one another, and to spur each other on and continue to trust in God. And this is where we're gathering our strength and wanting to become stronger as we do this together. There's something that allows us to get stronger when we know we're not alone, okay? The other thing, though, that we need in order to make this happen is we need some host to be able to do this, okay? And so a host needs to be somebody who just kind of knows some very basic things, like how to download an app and kind of begin to use an app, how to help people get onto a thing called Zoom, by which people can get together and see each other's faces on there, and how to just kind of facilitate just a conversation of getting to know each other. If that's you and you would like to be able to serve God and his kingdom and create a space by which people can get together by barely just kind of just get to know each other and to love each other by, you know, showing up, joining in and being real, we would love to have you. And so all you really need to do is text that word to that number, and we'll get you hooked up. You really don't need to do a whole lot. It's something that we will do and help you with it and to try to make it as easy as possible. Why? Because this is so important, guys. If we're going to get out of this in a way that not only do we survive, but we actually thrive, it's time for us to really lean in to doing the things that God has always encouraged us to do. And I believe that if we do that, we won't just survive this. We will thrive. That not only will we be strengthened, but we will have the opportunity and the ability, like those people that Teresa observed in the ICU, that we observe in Jesus himself, by which even no matter what's going on in our own circumstances, we can go and we can love and we can serve other people well. Because honestly, guys, it's really one of the reasons why God has left us here. Has left us here in order to, no matter what, bring people together in a unified way to love each other and to widen that circle, to bring people who are isolated, who are alone, who are trying to deal this thing apart from God, who are trying to deal with this apart from other people, to bring them along so they can experience the same strengthening as us, the same grace and the same love as well. Now, remember what I said last week in John chapter 17, Jesus, in that whole chapter, Jesus prays. and he prays to his Father. And he's not praying for himself. He's actually praying for his disciples. Again, just really thinking about them. And what we see in that prayer as he prays to his Father, again, this whole idea that's so important to Jesus Christ, that you and I, that we would be one. Why? So that the world will know the love of Jesus Christ. So in John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus prays these words. He says, Father, remember he's talking to his Father here. Father, may they experience, okay? Not just be an idea, not just be something abstract, but be a reality. That they experience such perfect unity with one mind, with one heart, wrapped around the heart of God in a way that's unique and different from the world. So that the world will know that you sent me. That the world will know that you, Father, sent me, your Son, Jesus Christ. And that you love them as much as you love me. And so one of the things that's so important for us is not just for us to gather together and to encourage each other and to come to a place of such perfect unity, but also to be a people that extends that love outward so that the world may experience too what you and I experience, the grace and love of God. Now, God oftentimes uses crisis to do certain things within our own lives and also as a group of people. We see this all the way back through human history, all the way back even to the early church. What's interesting is that, when Jesus died and he rose from the dead and he was with his disciples, that sorrow was turned to joy. But he said that he had a task for them, that those people who are now experienced the love of God, they were to go out and tell other people about the love of God, helping other people to connect to God and have a relationship with him. And so right before he was about to leave them to go to his Father, he gave him some instructions. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus said this to his disciples. He says, hey, but you guys, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, another big thing that you see with Jesus in his last words from John chapter 13 through John chapter 17 is Jesus talks a lot about the Holy Spirit and why the Holy Spirit is so vital to us. And I can't wait till next week because Caleb is going to be speaking on that. You're definitely going to want to listen to that because it's going to make a lot of sense for you, especially if you're really confused about this, the Holy Spirit and what his role is. But here Jesus says, guys, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this is what you're going to do. You're not going to huddle up. You're not going to stay here all by yourselves, just hunkering down. What you're going to do is you're going to go out and you're going to be my witnesses. The witnesses of all the things that I've said, the witnesses of my death, the witnesses of my burial, the witnesses of my resurrection. In fact, John would write a letter years after he experienced Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And he was writing a letter to a group of people and he said, we've seen him. We saw him. We heard him. We put our hands in him. We're talking about Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. So we proclaim to you what we ourselves have witnessed, have experienced. And so Jesus says, go do that, guys. And you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. What about me? You know, about how I've loved you, how I've sacrificed for you, how I rose from the dead to give eternal life, how I will love you forever. Go out into the world, tell the world that about me, that I made a way for them to come to a beautiful, loving relationship with their heavenly Father who created, who made them, that will last and endure for forever and ever. Tell them about me, he says. Tell them about me everywhere you go, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, one of the things that we saw in this early church that after Jesus kind of gave them this instructions and went up to be with his Father, what we saw with these people, it was they kind of hunkered down there in Jerusalem. Can't we kind of do that in a church? Can't we just kind of hunker down as a group of people here, you know, in a church worship service or at a Bible study, and we never really tell anybody about the beautiful things that we received in them? Well, sometimes when that happens, God has his own way of kind of kicking us in the can and getting us out of there. Well, he did the same thing in the early church. They were kind of, you know, isolated or hunkered down there in Jerusalem. But God used a crisis in their life to move his love outside of Jerusalem and out into the world. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, you see this persecution that was documented for us. It says a great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem. So there was a crisis in Jerusalem, just like we've kind of gone through and are going through our own little crisis. And he says, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. And so here I am. I'm here in an empty building without you guys. And I can't wait to see you guys again. Because through this crisis, God has scattered us into back into our own places where we live. We're scattered all over the place through this crisis. But it's through that that God gives us the opportunity to lean into him and to trust him. In fact, that's what happened to these guys. That when the persecution came and they scattered, guess what? They no longer were just depending upon the apostles because the apostles weren't with them. Who do they depend on? They continue to depend on their God who loved them and saved them, who gave them the Holy Spirit by which they weren't, you know, left alone, that God was with them. And what did they do when they were all scattered? You know what they did? They did the very things that Jesus told them to do. So he says they were scattered all out, but the believers who were scattered preach the good news. Again, what's the good news? That there's a God who loves you. There's a God who loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Why? To bring you back to him. And he rose him from the dead. Why? So we can have a relationship with our God forever and ever and ever. That even through crisis, we will make it through because our God will never leave us nor forsake us. And ultimately, when we have that moment where we go, man, this is it. This is it. Our time here on earth is done. That we can have great hope and great security of knowing that God has paved a way for us to live forever. That we can say, I'm going to be just fine. It is well with my soul because I know whose place I'm going to. And guys, we're not meant to hoard this. We're meant to give this away to other people. We're going to finish out our time together in worship. And it's a song that I want you just to meditate on, and I want you to sing about the fact that you're not alone, that God hasn't left you alone. But even in realizing that and understanding fully that you're not alone, guess what we're supposed to do? We need to go out and we need to tell other people you're not alone, that God loves them, that we love them. When you get out on the streets in your neighborhood, wave at people. If they open up and they're dealing with some of their stress, you can pray for them. If they're not out and about, pray for them as you walk down the street. Get out some chalk, write something on the sidewalk or at the end of your road, just encouraging people that God loves them, that you love them. Whatever you do, don't hunker down. Don't just stay where you're at. This is an amazing time for all of us to lean in together and strengthen each other by the love of God and for us to go share that love with others. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I am so personally grateful for your love. That your love is eternal, that your love never ends, and that you made that possible through your Son, Jesus Christ. You made it possible with him and his faith and trust in you, Father, by being willing to give up his life for us. And through that, he just thought about us and he just loved us. And so, Father, I pray that we would be strengthened by the same love. And by being strengthened by that same love, we would express that to each other and to the people at work, and the people in our community, God, that we wouldn't be people who just hoard things, that we would be people who would give away and give away your love, God. God, these are things that should have been doing all along. But God, you're getting our attention that this is the time to not make this a Bible study or to study about these things. This is time to actually go and do it. So Father, remind us that we are not alone, and remind us that we are to go and help other people to recognize and realize that they're not alone as well. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.